Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
High and inside, arching music, a little chin music, take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Alf, how about a warning?
Sure, watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
It's on the players. It's always on the players. Jeb built a good team. This is a good team. Have we underperformed? Like, yeah, probably for sure. We went a long stretch not playing very well. So any decision that he makes, it's what we, you know, as the players pushed him to.
That is Drew Smyly, the Cubs left-handed relief pitcher, talking earlier this week. Jed put together a good team. David Hall, Bruce Levine, it's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. Jed put together a good team. Bruce, Drew Smiley's a consummate professional. He has been a great friend of the program, and he is a guy that the Cubs have benefited from his presence. But he's being professional there. Jed did not put together a good team, not this year. This team is in the spot that it's in because of the way it was constructed. Right manager, wrong roster. Drew Smiley's wrong there.
Yeah, you know, but it took us 4 months to really come up with that, didn't it?
Slow.
You know?
We're a little slow.
I mean, to be fair,
we're deliberate.
I mean, after that 5-2 road trip by the Cubs,
yeah,
it was tremendous hope still.
I think so. The worst thing about the Cubs schedule was the All-Star break.
Right.
That was the toughest part of the Cubs schedule.
Yeah. I mean, Council was asked that question by a media reporter about that, and he goes, yeah, you're probably right, but what am I supposed to do about this schedule?
It's your fault, Craig.
We're not going to play.
Dumb move.
We're not going to be able to play during the All-Star break.
What did you do during your All-Star break, Craig?
You know, to digress for a second, Council has heard all kinds of things he never heard in Milwaukee before as far as questions. And that especially includes me and Jesse Rogers, who, you know, he's had to roll his eyes at a number of times because, you know, we'll ask out-of-the-box questions a lot of times.
Okay, what's the most obscure question you asked Craig Council this year?
Let's see. I would say
that's a tough one, Bruce. I've sat next to you at those things.
During the All-Star break, did you sit in your back lawn and look at the water and contemplate contemplation?
I like that, though.
He laughed. You know, we have some fun in those media sessions.
And that's why I think when he had the back and forth with Jesse Rogers about swinging for the lake, Jesse asked a question. It was worded maybe in a way we didn't want to.
Hey, David, that's a bad take.
See?
That's a bad take.
That's a bad take. See, I like that, though, because it reflects a respect on both sides. Jesse knew maybe he could have worded it differently.
It was the wrong time to ask the question. So, you know, I don't monitor Jesse's questions. He doesn't monitor mine or the other media people. But they had just won in the 10th inning, okay?
Right.
You know, a walk-off walk
Let
win.
Let him enjoy it.
And the second question is, hey, Morel swinging out of his butt, try to hit one in the lake. What's that all about? You know, and again, it's a good question.
That's a bad take. It's the wrong time to ask it.
Right. So, and again, I don't. I'm not media police. Okay.
There are plenty of people with badges in town. You don't need to be Bruce.
A fabulous job. So, and Jesse and I have been friends forever. But, you know, again, Council has gotten a lot of questions about why the team isn't better than it is since the second week of May. And it just isn't. A lot of it is directed at Council because, hey, they brought you in here.
Yeah.
You're making $8 million a year. Why aren't they better?
I don't feel sorry for Craig Council answering dumb questions or bad questions or bad takes.
I don't feel sorry for him at all. But it does take on a different situation for him that he's ever dealt with before.
Craig Council and the Cubs back in action tonight against the Royals. Pregame coverage right here on the Score, 5:35. First pitch, 6:10. On the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. But we're talking trades and trade deadlines. Tuesday is the deadline, and trade deadline coverage on the Score presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon, the other guys. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's go out to, we have full phone lines, 312-644-6767. Let's start with Mark. Mark has a point about the Cubs and Bruce. Good morning, Mark. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, you know, I'm going to tell you guys something. You know, I've been watching baseball since 1960s, and I really love your show. You guys are outstanding. You know, you really just focus on baseball and love of the game, and you know, there's no other agenda. It's really terrific. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for that. And, you know, I tell you, it's great. I play this immaculate grid all the time, and I'm always looking at stats. You know, I don't know if you guys ever fool around with that.
We fool around with stats, yeah.
Yeah, but I know Ian Happ, you know, he's a nice player, okay? He's a complimentary player, and I think you said it, Bruce. He's a complimentary player. He's a lifetime 245 hitter. He's not even hitting over 250, you know, as a lifetime hitter. And Suzuki, you know, he's a decent player, but, you know, he's another lifetime hitter, probably 260, but you know, he hasn't been in the over here in the States that long. But I think it really comes down to it. Just like you made a great point, Bruce, when you said, look at the team this year. They're really trying to develop a team for their future. They're fooling the fans, thinking that they're making some big commitment to try to win by paying Council $40 million. You know, third base, center field, first base, catcher, bullpen, they're all suspect. So really, the guy that's in charge, the general manager, Hoyer, you know, to me, you know, not to be, you know, righteous or call the guy out or anything, but they really don't know how to spend money, or they don't know how to evaluate talent.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. That's quite a charge. Let's get to Dave is in Grand Rapids. Dave, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Dave, I totally agree with you. Bruce, you want to know who's doing player development at the major league level? That would be Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati, in case you're not watching what's going on in the field.
You're right.
Those are all franchises now that we're looking up at because our vaunted farm system that we traded the old core away for is sitting in Iowa putting up big numbers, and we're not developing. Short of Bush, which I understand we traded for, but Jed just brought back largely the same team with one addition to the bullpen and thought that Council would make them 5 or 10 games better, and it's not happened. And it's sad, but you talk about Seattle's waste of starting pitching. Look what the Cubs have done. You know, and now Hottavee's actually rectified the bullpen with some health, and it's just wasted on a daily basis.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
it's a great
the phone call.
And it's a good point about other teams using their player development for their young players. And the Cubs are stuck in the middle. They're stuck.
It's a bad place to be in any sport.
It is. And I've talked about this forever, David. It's very difficult to win and do player development at a high number at the same time.
Why do you think the Brewers do it so well? Why do you think the Brewers are able to?
Because, first of all, they have to.
Because of their financial realities.
Because of the market they're in. They have to do that, okay?
Yeah.
So they cannot have a HAP contract that has him with a no trade for two more years and left, or Suzuki trade in right field for two more years.
Okay.
They can't do that.
Did you notice the whammy you put on Christian Yelich? You interview him for the pregame show, I believe, on Tuesday. He's basically scheduling surgery on Wednesday. What happened? That's a bad development. And I'm just pointing out the coincidence that you interviewed him earlier in the week.
Well, he kept telling me to hurry up because Taylor McGregor is one of his favorite people to talk to in the media, and I was taking up time from him talking to Taylor. But from Mark, who does a fantastic job. But the reality is that's such a huge blow for
Milwaukee. It is a bad one for them. Yeah. Do you think that makes them more active at the deadline?
I don't know. I don't know how many offensive players are out there available, David. The Rosarena was surprising to me.
That was surprising that he was on the move. Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a 90% pitchers trade market, you know, bullpen guys, a few starting pitchers, big names like Rocher, Skubal, the possibility of Tyone.
72 hours left until the trade deadline on Tuesday. Let's continue the phone calls. Theo is in River North. Theo, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning. Now that we all know that Jed's at fault, can we talk about Bruce's boring dating life? You guys and a few of these previous callers jumped on this question. And David, I've been telling you the whole season because I know you said this isn't on Craig. And I kept saying if it's not on Craig, then you know I don't know if there's what's going on between Jed and Craig because I firmly believe Jed thought he had enough, and that putting Craig in place was going to put him over the top. So do we know, Bruce? Is there like a little problem here? Did his big manager let him down? And then the next question is, how do you possibly rehire and give Jed more money? I mean, this isn't a little city. This can't be happening here. And I don't know if you should trust him again.
Yeah,
Theo, that's a good question. Next year is the final year in Jed Hoyer's contract, apparently, correct?
Right. And he was asked about that a number of times in the last couple of meetings with the media. And he said, I can't focus on my job. My job is to help us get better. I can't focus on whether I'm going to be doing it or not.
That's a fair answer. I think everybody would like him. Yeah, it's the only answer you can. You don't want him to say, well, you know what? I'm factoring this into every decision that I'm going to make because I need to make a big one in order to stay.
Again, his charge after Epstein left or was asked to leave, whatever it was to build that farm system that they were not able to build during those first 9 years with Epstein, okay?
Yes.
And he has done that to the satisfaction of most pundits out there, people that watch us on a daily basis, feel the Cubs have top young players.
I want to believe that too, Bruce, and I want to be impressed by eight top prospects in the top 100, but I also have the memory too fresh of Matt Mervis. I'm watching on a daily basis Miguel Amaya, who I've been waiting for a while. We're seeing Pete Crow Armstrong hit 180. Right. I see Alex Canario come up and do very little except for take batting practice. So these prospects that we're getting excited about makes me feel like, okay, enough already. Let's see some results.
Well, and again, this next 2 months should be about concentrating on what you're talking about player development, no talking about necessarily winning every day. It's a hard thing to do in a big market, but that is what the Chicago Cubs should be doing moving forward. Now, the thing that we haven't talked about is they've developed some good-looking young pitchers in their organization. They all happen to get hurt, okay?
That's a bad thing.
They've had a great number of pitchers get hurt. So have other teams that have, like Milwaukee, the Dodgers, they've had as many injuries to their pitching, and they've been able to survive and stay on top. Cubs aren't in that situation yet. Is Brown coming back? Is Wicks coming back? Is Horton ever going to pitch in the major leagues? You know, these are really serious blows to a team that has done a really good job of developing, trading for, and developing young pitchers. Problem about keeping them healthy is, you know, there's just no way of being able to detect whether that's going to happen or not.
If not prospects, I know fans want to see the Cubs be aggressive this offseason in free agency, which takes us to Paul in Valparaiso. Paul, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as always. Yeah, no, I mean, they have to go one of either way, and that is, you know, you're talking about these prospects. They have to see what they have right here, because it looks to me like they have a lot of good prospects, but are all good to maybe pretty good players, and there's no stud that you're going to be able to stick in the middle of the lineup. So if they can't just overpay for Soto and get Soto, they have to trade some of these guys right now for Vlad Guerrero Jr. They need a mainstay in that lineup that's going to – I don't think it's Pete Alonso. So, I mean, they need one of those guys to stick in the middle lineup, and it makes up for Hap because he is a decent player. Suzuki is a decent player. Bush looks like a decent player. And they can – they're okay. They just don't have that big power bat that teams need to be good. Bruce, you talk about it. Why are the Dodgers – are they able to get over those young pitching mistakes? They got Ohtani.
They got Ohtani. They got Freeman.
Thanks, Paul.
They got Betts, okay? They have three superstars. And they've been winning without Betts. They've been winning with a lot of injuries to their pitching staff. And hopefully, for the sake of Crochet and the White Sox, you end up with guys like Dalton Rushing, the Dodgers' number one prospect hitter, first baseman catcher. You end up with a guy like Jackson Ferris, a left-handed pitcher from the Dodgers. You end up with a shortstop from the Dodgers like Alex Freeland. These are their top they're all in the top 12 prospects.
Where'd
the
they
Dodgers.
Get the Ferris kid? That was from the Cubs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was in the Michael Bush trade.
Yep.
Turned out pretty well for the Cubs so far. Yep. Michael Bush is maybe their most consistent hitter this season.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's been a great story. We'll talk to him after we go to the break. But again, that's the type of cachet you're going to have to get from a not just somebody's 1-5-12, but a really outstanding organization like the Dodgers, whose talent is supreme. Those are the guys you have to get. Not just, you know, we go too often with, oh, they got their 1-5-15th pick. How good are those players and that organization? That's what we don't talk about.
Let's quickly talk about the Cubs and their bullpen, because the bullpen arms are going to be the ones that teams will call the Cubs most about. Mark Leiter Jr.
I said goodbye to him the other day. I said, see you later, pal. Enjoy going back to Philadelphia. Because
what was his reaction to that?
You know, we have a great relationship.
Well, you better.
He said, well,
if you're gonna, that's where I would be like, bad take, Bruce. If I'm the player, I'm like, whoa, bad take.
That's
Bruce.
A bad take.
It's a bad take.
It's a bad take to go to a team that can win the World Series.
No, it's a great take, but I'm glad to hear that you're like wishing him farewell. Maybe he wants to stay. You got me there, Bruce. I like the boldness.
I hesitate to say something right. Like, why would he want to at this point?
All right, Mark Leiter Jr. He's going to be apparently going to the Phillies. Bruce already got him a spot. Hector Neris. This is the interesting one. Hector Neris has been largely a disappointment for the Cubs. That's not exactly breaking news. If he hits 60 appearances, he can his player option kicks in. He's going to make
$9 million.
9 million reasons to keep him from getting that 60th appearance if you're Jed Hoyer. I don't know how. Can you do that? He's at 38. 21 more times. So if he hits 60, he's going to make 22 appearances. If you trade for him,
or
can you
do that? If he finishes 45 games in a season,
same deal.
It kicks in.
So I wonder, can you trade for a guy who has that kind of clause? If you're a contender, do you care about $9 million commitment to next season? And if you're the Cubs, if you keep him, what's the Players Association going to say if you start to obviously avoid using him?
They will take you to a court. Being a grievance, and you will have to probably end up paying the guy $9 million anyway. It's a tough situation to be in. You thought it was going to be that Neris was going to be somebody to protect you in the last part of a game as a setup man or a closer. He ended up being the closer.
You thought he was bringing an extinguisher, not lighter fluid.
That was never it was never the plan to have him as a closer. Okay. Happenstance ended up that Alzolay got hurt. Okay. That you had other guys that could have been like Merriweather who got hurt.
Yes.
So
it's another guy.
Right. And you know, can he be traded here knowing what he can bring and what he did bring to the Cubs in 2023?
By 5:01 Tuesday night, 5:01 p.m. Tuesday afternoon, technically, which Chicago team will have dealt more pitchers?
It's a great question. I would venture to say it will be...
That's a tough one.
I think it'll be 3-2 Cubs over White Sox.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get rid of either... I'm afraid that they're going to trade Jameson Taillon, and it's just going to tick me off, but I think they're going to probably trade him. They're going to trade Leiter Jr. He's already sized for his Phillies uniform, apparently, and maybe Neris. That's three. And I think the Sox are going to trade Fetty and Kopech.
Well, I think the Sox are an even better chance of trading Fetty, Kopech, and Crochet.
You think Crochet will still go with the contract?
If they get three top players from a good organization, okay? Not just three top players, but from one of the better ones like Baltimore or the Dodgers.
Doesn't it have to be an organization that's flush with cash or willing to invest financially into a guy who won't pitch in October if he doesn't have that extension?
Yeah, that's the Dodgers.
How about the Orioles? That's not the Orioles.
They're not flush with cash.
So they're not going to be a team. I would almost eliminate them from the equation. They don't have that.
I just think from the Dodgers' plans of handling pitchers over the years, since Friedman's been there as the president, that they have a better way many times of saying, we're not going to ask too much because this is what we plan on him being now, but more importantly, we got him for two more years to help us win World Series in 25 and 26. They plan to win this year, and they plan to win in 26 and 27 in a different way. That's, you know, Friedman has the luxury of having more money to spend than any general manager, but he's also very, very smart, and he knows how to develop a system and use players that he ends up purchasing from other teams.
Before we break quickly, Luis Robert Jr. is not a name we talked about a lot. Is his name being brought up as much this week in trade conversations?
I think you end up getting more for him in the offseason. You know? And again, Crochet, you can make that argument for White Sox have had to contemplate since his comment saying, you know what, maybe we have to trade him in the offseason after we've gotten 150 innings out of him, after he's been able to complete a full season being healthy. I think there's a lot to be said for that as well.
They're going to be active. Chris Getz has got a lot of work to do. I'm surprised he hasn't really started the process so far.
I heard FAN has a plan to offer two hosts and a reporter for you if Mitch Rosen will.
That's an exorbitant amount to pay for me, and I also have a no-trade clause.
Well,
somewhere.
Are you going to use it?
It's a bad take, Bruce.
Sorry.
It's a bad take. I don't like New York. Now, if it was Indianapolis, maybe. You know, since I am Hoosier, Haw, or Vegas. I would go to Vegas.
Think about renegotiating your deal.
That's a good take.
Vegas Haw might be interested in being on the move. Does Odyssey have a station in Vegas? Because if they're offering 2-for-1, I'm going to encourage Mitch to take it. I'm out.
I think they'll buy one just so they can keep you.
I'm out. I had such a good time there. I want to go back. Hint, hint. We're going to Canton, Ohio this week. You know that, Bruce? I know you're happy. I don't want to change the Bears or anything, but we're going to Canton.
Where's that sounder? We're happy for you.
Well, speaking of football coverage here on The Score, obviously, Mully and Hall will be live from Hallis Hall, 5:30 to 10 Tuesday as the Bears take the field for practice that morning. Also, as I said, we are going to be at the Pro Football Hall of Fame Thursday and Friday, 5:30 to 10. Busy week.
Will they be in pads, David?
They won't. I hope they're in pads on Tuesday. That would be fun to watch. All presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. When we come back, Michael Busch is one of those Cubs hitters, the rare one, that is having a very good season. We'll talk to him next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Michael Busch drives one in the air, deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Long gone. A home run to right from Michael Busch. And the Cubs lead 1-0. No doubt about it.
A one-hopper. Oh, terrific backhanded sliding grab by Busch. Underhand toss to the pitcher. Hodge covering. And the Cardinals go down in order here in the seventh inning.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Thank you for joining us here on this beautiful Saturday morning in Chicago. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Not joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Cubs first baseman Michael Busch. CircaLasVegas.com. Download the Circa Sports app today. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us. We know you're in Kansas City. The Cubs, another tough one last night. It's been a difficult week coming back from the All-Star break. You have been a bright spot in a disappointing season for the Cubs overall. How would you explain why you have been as consistent as you have been?
I think, you know, kind of sometimes the nature of the game. I think, you know, I feel like I could have been a little more consistent. I feel like, you know, kind of got off to a good start, and then for, you know, a good month there, just didn't really do much. At least I felt like I wasn't, but you know, that's the nature of the game sometimes. It's a battle of, you know, try not to ride that roller coaster and just try to stay as consistent, you know, emotionally and physically.
Michael, can we reconnect with your phone? We have a little bit of a bad connection and we'll wait until you come back. Thank you. So Bruce, I've been surprised at how skillful defensively he has been. It looks like a guy who played middle infield, but most of his life switches to first base, and it looks pretty seamless.
Yeah, it really does. And it shows what type of athlete, you know, because in the minor leagues, he played second base, he played third base, he played first. He didn't really have one home. So first base was the place he played the least. And, you know, we saw at the beginning of the year some growth that needed to take place. And it happened very quickly where he became one of the better defenders in baseball within the last couple of months.
Rejoined by Michael Busch now.
Michael, you know, we were talking about the defense and how hard you work. And I, you know, before games, I see you working with the infielder, you know, coaches and Flaherty, how hard you work at the little things to make your game better. Can you talk a little bit about that and how gratifying that's been for you?
Yeah. It has. I mean, there's so many, you know, little things that you can work on, but, you know, just trying to get the reps every day, work on some footwork, so, you know, trying to, you know, just get ready for the game in a sense and get my body ready. But at the end of the day, there's some baseball, like in the game, you're really not going to, see until, you know, 7 o'clock rolls around. So I've been trying to learn from those, you know, whether they are good ones or bad ones or,
or whatever, bad reads, good reads, just trying to learn from those and, you know, go forward and try to, you know, defensively.
Well, David and I were talking about it while your phone is the fact that, you know, you didn't really have a position because you were good at three in the Dodger system. How good is it for you to be able to just concentrate on one and be very good at that?
I think definitely makes it a little easier, but you know, sometimes that's the nature of the game is, you know, I've saw a lot of guys make careers out of just being able to, you know, perform at multiple positions. And at the end of the day, it only can help the team, the more positions that you can play. So, there's definitely an art to that, but yeah, definitely just focusing on one position. You know, I really tried to, you know, hone in my craft over there and just try to work hard. Kind of see where that takes me.
Joined by Cubs first baseman Michael Busch here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Michael, on Monday, Jed Hoyer had a press conference before the game and against the Brewers in the series, and he declared that the Cubs essentially had not had a good enough a season to justify adding to the team at that point. And our reaction in the media was what you would expect, like, okay, Jed is saying essentially that he's going to be either sellers or they're not going to be buyers designation. And you know how it works at the trade deadline. What effect did that have, if any, in the clubhouse amongst players?
You know, didn't seem like much. You know, I think guys are just, you know, so soaked into just the clubhouse and, you know, trying to go out and win ball games. I think we've all, you know, seen some stuff, whether it's, you know, trades or different teams or, and I think at the end of the day, like, you get a good group of guys in a clubhouse and kind of no matter what happens, no matter if it's trade deadline or you're winning or you're losing, they just kind of show up and, you know, you try to just attack the day and win the day.
Mentally having been a Dodger for your career and getting traded, how long did it take for you to embrace it? Or was it instant because you knew you were going to have a better opportunity in the Cubs system?
Embrace what?
Being traded. Right? Being traded. And
oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, first time it was, you know, you didn't really know what to expect. But, yeah, just, you know, it was, I think I got traded on a Thursday and, you know, Jed called me on right after and I think Cubs convention was on Friday. So, you know, right then and there, I was like, I wanted to get out there and meet some of the guys before spring training. You know, just try to, you know, soak myself in it all and just, you know, try to become as comfortable as possible or as comfortable as quick as possible. So, yeah, it was the first time that it's ever happened to me, but, you know, I learned a lot and just trying to, you know, again, just trying to be here to help the team win.
What has been the thing you've had to adjust to the most as an everyday player, or maybe something that has surprised you as a starter?
There's not too much, you know, playing in them. Obviously there's a difference between the minor leagues and major leagues, but from the playing every day aspect of it, you know, I think there's just a routine that I built, you know, kind of, and learned kind of how my body's going to work, kind of what keeps me, you know, on the field and just try to roll with that. I think my body, you know, has been used to that the last couple of years playing a lot. So just trying to, you know, make myself available and, you know, try to keep myself on the field.
What have you learned, Michael, about being a good teammate in the major leagues and dealing with adversity, which your team has had to deal a lot with? You've had so many one-run games, so many games where decision went to the last out. What have you gained? What have you thought about playing on a team where the fluctuation occurs so often?
Yeah, I think, you know, just not even, you know, just baseball or this team, but, you know, any sport. I think when things aren't going your way, it's easy to point the finger. It's easy to, you know, blame other people. And I just, there's none of that in, you know, this clubhouse, which is, it's only a good thing. And I think that just speaks to the character of, you know, the team. And I think that speaks to the character of the leadership in the clubhouse that we have. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things don't go your way, but you know, those guys at the top are, you know, definitely giving us the best chances, you know, being leaders and, you know, kind of helping us show up every day with the mindset to, you know, try to get the job done and win.
So your high school shortstop in Minnesota, you have played several different positions that weren't first base. Now you're playing first base. Is there a position you couldn't play, do you think, in a pinch? Have you thought about, can you catch? Have you ever caught behind the plate?
It was actually a funny story. I think ninth grade, I went to a certain showcase. I don't remember what it was. And the guy called me after. And he called me a couple of days later, and he was like, hey, I think you should just be a catcher. Not necessarily. I was a good infielder, but I was a pretty good catcher as well. But he told me, he was like, I think you should just catch.
Well, didn't every kid in Minnesota want to be like Joe Mauer?
Exactly. I think that's why.
as far as Michael, you're getting used to playing in Chicago and Cub fans. What has that experience been like? We pretty much know the response to that most of the time, but you know, getting your take on Cub fan and Cub fans and playing at Wrigley every day. What is that like for you?
It's pretty amazing. Just showing up to the field and, you know, not every day you get to play in front of, you know, 40,000 people. But outside of that, it's just been really cool to like see that how well they understand the game. There's plenty of examples, and I think just one, you know, recent example, I think Shota was, you know, throwing a no hitter through 4 or 5 innings and he gives up a hit and, you know, standing ovation. And it's like, it's pretty cool to see, you know, a fan base that is just so dialed into the game and knows what's going on and knows about the game. And it's really cool. And, you know, as a baseball fan, you know, as a guy who loves to talk about baseball, like, I think it's really cool to see. And it's especially cool to be a part of.
Before we let you go, Craig Counsell's approach gets a lot of attention, as you can imagine, on Chicago Sports Talk Radio. His personality, his demeanor, whether it's at the podium or in the dugout. How would you describe your first experience in the big leagues playing for Craig Counsell and what his effect has had on you?
I think he's had a tremendous effect. You know, I think, you know, our relationship has definitely, you know, developed over time. It's his first year too, so he's, you know, seeing a lot of new people, meeting a lot of new people. But his knowledge for the game, I think you can tell, you know, he's won as a manager just because, you know, his knowledge and the things that he's doing. But also you can tell that he was, you know, a player. He played for quite a bit of time. So he has that part of it that's super, like, super, he connects with everybody. But, you know, so far, yeah, I've been very happy, you know, just being able to play for him. And, you know, he's an awesome guy and, you know, obviously an awesome manager.
So, again, David and I really appreciate your time today. But tell me what it's like to be sitting next to Mark Leiter Jr. all year long, a friend of mine, and a guy that, you know, he doesn't lack for opinion most of the time, right?
Yeah, Mark's great. You know, there's you can tell he's been around for a while and kind of gets it. But honestly, like, I've had some really cool conversations with him, mainly about baseball. Obviously, we'll get off topic sometimes, but like really cool conversations about baseball. Just, you know, the pitcher hitter conversations. Sometimes I don't quite understand, you know, the pitcher side of it, you know, just because like what they're thinking or what their routine or like what they're thinking in the bullpen and all that. So like, you know, he's really like kind of brought me into what, you know, the reliever side of, you know, being in the MLB is like, which is like really, really cool to me. It's pretty fascinating because obviously I've only been a hitter. But that's, yeah, Mark's great. Love spending time with that guy, and he's quite the character for sure.
Michael, thank you so much for your time. Good luck the rest of the season and tonight against the Royals.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Michael Busch, Cubs first baseman, one of the bright spots in a dark season for the Cubs. Consistent hitter from the left side, Bruce. He's going to be here for a while, it looks like.
Dark season for the Cubs?
Dismal. Disappointing. You want me to be misleading? What would you say? Is that overstating it? He's had a bright season.
Difficult to watch.
I think I just went for the...
Difficult to watch because you know they have better components and they haven't played up to their abilities in a lot of ways.
I was just going for the contrast. I mean, bright, dark, cold, hot. You know, interesting, dull.
You don't think the audience can...
No, that's what I do in my head. Oh. I'm a writer. I don't know. I'm sorry. Dark is overstating it. Michael Bush, a bright spot in a rather disappointing, less than acceptable season for the Cubs. Too many words, Bruce. I'm about the economy of words. Come on.
Sorry, I asked.
Yeah, so am I. Bruce Levine, David Haw here till 11. Final segment coming up inside the clubhouse.
That's a good take.
I grew a mustache when I was in Bakersfield, my second year in pro ball, and you couldn't see it. So I put a little dye on it.
I did.
Put a little paint on it before I came home. And at the airport was my mom and my grandma. And when I kissed them both, they had the same mustache I did.
Oh, my gosh. That's too good.
That's not a good story, but it's true.
It's true.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Rick Sutcliffe on the Marquee Sports Network telling
David,
the story.
I painted my mustache for you this morning.
No. I'm not kissing you, man.
No?
No. Not kissing you goodbye. That was funny.
That shows how close that Sutcliffe family was.
It also shows how hard it is to watch the Cubs because they have to go to Sut's A game in terms of his backup material to tell jokes when the team is unwatchable.
Well, he's a perfect guy for a blowout game to talk about everything in baseball. And, you know, he'll surprise me with stories all the time about taping down Cal Ripken to a table and torturing him when he went to the Orioles. And, you know, Sut's got the greatest stories in baseball without question. But, you know, kissing his mother and his grandmother on the lips, you know, I think that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge with the Cubs broadcast crew, both here at the Score and Marquee, and certainly the White Sox. They're used to it. But the Cubs down the stretch, they have been shut out three of their last six games. This is a hard team to watch. And they're back at it again tonight, 5:35, first pitch, 6:10. The pregame with Zach at 5:35 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network.
It's Shota.
It's show tonight, so hopefully they get a win.
It's win night, 14-4.
That's the good news.
14-4 and starts by Shota Imanaga.
Bad news, Seth Lugo on the mound for the Royals. White Sox have Brian Wu for the Mariners going against Eric Fetty in his final start for the Sox probably. What do you think, Bruce? By Tuesday, it's going to be a lot of activity. He gone. All right, we got to get out of here. We're going to be gone soon.
People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. I guess it's called X these days. Is Rosie roaming the
He's
halls?
He's looming. Steve Rosenblum is next. Thanks to Robbie Triano for keeping us on the air. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Talk to you Monday. I'm Mullion Haas. David Haw, this has been Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I grew a mustache when I was in Bakersfield, my second year in pro ball, and you couldn't see it. So I put a little dye on it.
No.
I did. Put a little paint on it before I came home, and at the airport was my mom and my grandma. And when I kissed them both, they had the same mustache I did.
Oh, my gosh, that's too good.
That's not a good story, but it's true.
It's true.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Rick Sutcliffe on the Marquee Sports Network telling
David,
the story.
I painted my mustache for you this morning.
No? I'm not kissing you, man.
No?
No. I'm not kissing you goodbye. That was funny.
That shows how close that Sutcliffe family was.
It also shows how hard it is to watch the Cubs because they have to go to such a game in terms of his backup material to tell jokes when the team is unwatchable.
Well, he's a perfect guy for a blowout game to talk about everything in baseball. And, you know, he'll surprise me with stories all the time about taping down Cal Ripken to a table and torturing him when he went to the Orioles. And, you know, Sut's got the greatest stories in baseball without question. But, you know, kissing his mother and his grandmother on the lips, you know, I think that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge with the Cubs broadcast crew, both here at the Score and Marquee, and certainly the White Sox. They're used to it. But the Cubs down the stretch, they have been shut out three of their last six games. This is a hard team to watch. And they're back at it again tonight, 5:35, first pitch, 6:10. The pregame with Zach at 5:35 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network.
It's Shota. Show tonight.
It's show tonight, so hopefully they get a win.
It's win night, 14-4.
That's the good news.
14-4 and starts by Shota Imanaga.
Bad news, Seth Lugo on the mound for the Royals. White Sox have Brian Wu for the Mariners going against Eric Fetty in his final start for the Sox probably. What do you think, Bruce? By Tuesday, it's going to be a lot of activity. He gone. All right, we got to get out of here. We're going to be gone soon.
People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. I guess it's called X these days. Is Rosie roaming the
halls?
He's
looming. Steve Rosenblum is next. Thanks to Robbie Triano for keeping us on the air. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Talk to you Monday. I'm Mullion Haw. It's David Haw. This has been Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.